Thank you for letting us come. We're honored to be here. Amen. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Had a good trip up, and we appreciate that. Even while Brother Beard was talking about that, on the way up, we had a call about a boy strung out on drugs and called me. No, I'm not the director. I'm the pastor of the church. But I called and said, do y'all have an opening? We have a man needs to come. And our ministry is about 3 years old. And Philip's going to tell you about that, but I just want to inject this. Our ministry is about 3 years old. We're getting 4 to 5 calls a week. And just nowhere to go, nowhere to get help, amen. Places are full, and we can't take everybody in. So it's a great need that the Lord put on our heart to start, amen. And so we thank the Lord for Him putting that burden on us to get that done, amen. And we appreciate all the good men we meet. Honestly, like my Brother Beard said, we've had numbers of men come in. And here's what happened: they got hurt on the job, and the doctor put them on pain medicine, and they got hooked. Amen. You know, you think about a drug addict, you think out in the world, you know, partying and all that, and surely that's involved. But we've had, I think, probably about 4 or 5, maybe 4 men, that's what happened. Got hurt on the job, got put on prescription drugs, and got addicted to that. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I'm addicted to something else tonight. Amen. Glad I got addicted to the gospel. Amen. Changed my life. I got to have it. I get up in the morning, I just have to have the Bible. Hallelujah. I mean, Sunday comes around, I get up and I get nervous. I mean, I got to go to church, amen. I got to have it, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach my message before I get through, amen. But it's a joy to be here. Thank you. I'm nervous. When I get nervous, I talk a lot, amen. But I'm nervous about being here. I've never been here before. But thank y'all for letting us come, amen. I'm glad I got here on time, amen. And I met Brother Beard over there, and we discussed some things about where we was going to stay, and thank God y'all put us in a beautiful, nice motel. There's probably more people in this building tonight than is in my town. So you can understand why I'm nervous. Amen. So, but anyway, I got here on time. Me and Brother Beard, we talked about it, and y'all put us in a nice motel, and thank you for doing that. Amen. But I was thinking about the lady who called her husband up and said, honey, I'm going to be late getting home this afternoon. He said, why are you late? She said, I'm having some problems with the car. He said, honey, I don't understand you having problems with the car. I said, it's a brand new car. She said, well, I'm having some trouble, so I'll get there, but it's going to be a little bit late. He said, what's wrong with the car? She said, well, I think it's got water in the carburetor. He said, honey, I don't even know why I ask you what's wrong. You're not a mechanic. Why would you think there's water in the carburetor? I mean, where are you? Where is the car? She said, in the river. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm glad I wasn't late. Amen. All right. I'm going to read a fair amount of scripture tonight. Do y'all stand when y'all read the Bible? All right. I'm going to read a lot of scripture, so y'all stand up. Amen. I'll tell you what I want to do it this way tonight. This is a little bit unusual way to start. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And I want to read one verse, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to let you be seated, and then I'm going to 2 Chronicles. That's where I'll be preaching from tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. So I'm going to read this scripture, because I have a little bit of scripture to read in Chronicles that would keep us standing for a little while. But I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to preach on tonight. Amen. And some of you preachers I haven't seen in a long, long time, and it's a joy to see you again, Brother Daniel. I hadn't seen you in many years. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 13 of chapter number 2, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you. I'll read that verse one more time. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Amen. I want to try to use that thought tonight to preach to you, and then we'll go to 2 Chronicles. Let's pray. Father, I'm already blessed to be here. Thank you for the good choir, the good congregational singing, and the good spirit. And thank you, Lord, for the trio that sang. God, what a blessing that stirred my heart, and I thank you for them. And Lord, I pray now, God, you'd help me to preach tonight, Lord, the truth of God's word. Lord, I'm not here to be an entertainer. I'm not here to put on some performance, but I pray that the word of God tonight would find lodging in our heart and bring forth fruit in our lives. And God, we could leave this place with a greater determination to serve you and live for you in these last days of the church age. Thank you again for saving us. Thank you for calling us. And thank you for letting us be in this place. Touch hearts, work in lives. God, do something this week, real and lasting. And God, we'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, in 2 Chronicles, I said, I'm going to read a little bit if you'll let me. Amen. The Bible said Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Chapter 34. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David. His father declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. In the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groved and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut down the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. He burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder, he cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel. He returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, he's 26 years old now, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah and Maaseiah the governor of the city and Joel the son of Joahaz the recorder to repair the house of the Lord his God. Verse 14, and when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, have delivered it to the hand of the overseer and to the hand of the workman. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. Shaphan read it before the king. Listen now, and when it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and so on and so forth, 21, to go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers had not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. I want to try to preach on this thought tonight. They found the book. They found the book. I guess what really got my attention on this sometime a while back, I was studying and reading some thoughts about in 1 John, and I never saw that before. I read that before. And they said when John was writing 1 John, he was writing to a third generation. And as I was reading that and studying that, they said, first generation, truth is a conviction. Second generation, truth is a belief. Third generation, truth is an opinion. I'm passing a third generation in my church now. And here's what I'm simply seeing. What used to be a conviction is now what the man of God thinks. It's no longer that they have a conviction about this. It's that's what the man of God said. Hey, I'm simply saying, he said in Thessalonians, when they received the word of God, they didn't receive it as the word of man. They received it as it is the word of God. I'm just simply saying, hey, we've got to get to the place that we understand it's not what the preacher says, it's what God says. It will never affect us until we believe this is what God said, not what a man said. And so I'm simply saying to us tonight, I read this statistic. I hope this wouldn't be true. I read it in a religious periodical. They said in 7 years, 3 people out of 100 professions will still be in church. Out of 100 people that make a profession of faith, in 7 years, if this statistic's right, only 3 are going to still be in church. I'm simply saying, what is causing that? I simply believe it. Take it back to the Word of God. We don't believe this book is the Word of God. when I read about Judah and I read about the decline of Judah, amen, in our text tonight, I'm seeing that it was Judah was on its last stand. This nation was crumbling, amen, and God is taking a man called Josiah to call the nation back to God. Their day was much like our day. Our country that valued the Word of God and cherished the Word of God. Now the Word of God does not mean much in our nation anymore. I'm so glad, thank God, there's a remnant. I'm glad there's a remnant here tonight. I'm glad there's a remnant across the country. But by and large, America has rejected the Word of God. And God has rejected us. Amen. I read where Dr. Morehouse said about the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah. He said it was on its final and mournful end. It was coming down to the very last. Matter of fact, over in verse number 25 of our same chapter tonight, in chapter 34, look in verse 25. The Bible said, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that might provoke me to anger with all the works of thy hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. In other words, Josiah was bringing the nation back to God. Ultimately, the nation was gone. Matter of fact, in verse 27, he said to Josiah, because thy heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his word against this place, he said, and against the inhabitants thereof, and thou humblest thyself before me, and didst rent thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. In verse 28, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt gather to thy grave in peace. In other words, here's what he said, Josiah, because when you heard the word of God, you humbled yourself, I'm going to postpone the judgment till you die. I'm simply saying to us tonight, we're living in those days. Amen and amen. We're living in a day of humanistic religion. Amen. Humanistic religion that denies God and deifies man. We're living in an entertainment world that's anti-God. Anti-Christian, amen. We're living in a world that's drinking and drugs and dancing. Amen. I don't know why I started like this tonight, preaching. We're living in days of pornography and perversion and pollution. I made a statement yesterday in our church. I get in trouble in the announcements. I was just making some announcements that we was going to protest a gay parade in Columbia. They've been having a gay parade in Columbia, and the sodomites said about that parade, they said, they've been doing it now for numbers of years, they said nobody was protesting it. And so some preachers in Columbia called, and last couple of years, got some preachers together, I guess about 250 of us, amen, and went out last year and protested against that. And I was announcing that parade yesterday that we're going to protest what they're doing. And after I got through, I had a visitor in the church, said he needed to talk to me after the service. And so I thought he wanted to talk about being saved. He looked like he needed to be saved, amen. And I went back in the back room, and I was just sure he was going to ask me about getting saved. And he said, preacher, I enjoyed your message this morning. I appreciate your preaching this morning. But he said, I'm back here to ask you not to go and protest that movement. I said, why would you say that? He said, God's not a God of hate. I said, I don't hate those people. Matter of fact, I'm the dearest friend they got. I'm going to tell them the truth. They're wrong. Amen. The Bible said, open rebuke is better than secret love. And anyway, I tried to share that with him. He didn't want to hear that anyway. Amen. But I'm simply saying, hey, we're living in a day of perversion and pollution. Amen. I'm telling you, like we have never seen before. Our magazines, our music, our movies, amen. We've made actors out of heroes, our heroes, and athletes our heroes. I like David as a hero. I like it when a teenage boy can whip up on a 10-foot giant. I like that because I am little, amen. Hey, we're living a day of rebellious attitudes. What a way to start a camp meeting. Hey, we got children rebelling against parents. Companions rebelling against their partners, crooks rebelling against the police, citizens rebelling against public officials, and hey, churches rebelling against their pastors. We're in a day of rebellion. Amen. Hey, we're in a day of trial, man. I'm telling you, we're just where, hey, Josiah was when he took the throne and said, I want my nation to come back to God. We're living in those days of trial marriages. They live together to see if it works. I was reading, studying this. They said they had a 20-year study to see if living together would promote them staying together. After 20 years, they found out it didn't work. I could have told them that. It's been about 2 minutes. Amen. Hey, we're living in a day society accepts it, and the Scripture says it's an abomination. Amen and amen. I believe they can be saved. I read that boy in that room yesterday. I said, hey, I'm the dearest friend they got. And people like me, the dearest friend they got. They got to know they're wrong before they can get right. And this Bible said that they can get right. I ain't never seen many of them get right, but the Bible said, and such for some of you. We're living a day of women's lib. Oh, Lord. Why did I pick this message? We promoted money over motherhood. We promoted godly worldliness over wife and godly. We promoted independent over dependent. We promoted fashionable over being feminine. We promoted being sexy over being saintly. Amen and amen. We promoted careers over Christ. We promoted being bossy over being a bride. I was sitting over there a while ago. I said, I've never been here. And the Holy Ghost said, last time you preached that message, you preached all them. He said, what you going to do tonight? I said, Lord, I think I'm going to skip that point right there tonight. And the way some of y'all looking, I think I should have. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you, our country is in a fix. Are you listening to me? Hey, we promoted gay rights. When a nation, hey, it's bad enough when it's in a nation, but when a nation promotes it and makes it the law of the land, somebody said judgment's coming? Judgment's done here. That is judgment. Amen and amen. Hey, but thank God in all of that, in the midst of all this chaos, thank God a man named Josiah raised up and said, I don't want it that way. Let's stand for God. Amen. Hallelujah. He followed Ammon. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, your background don't make no difference. He followed a wicked king. That was his daddy. Thank God, I don't care what your daddy was or what your mama was. You can do right in the midst of a wicked world. Amen and amen. Hey, God postponed the judgment. Amen. He humbled his heart before God. And God said, Josiah, because you was tender when you heard the word of God, I'm going to postpone the judgment. Amen and amen. Josiah was the last godly king. Amen. Hey, listen to this. Listen to this. There's still some godly people around. Thank God I sometimes down there where I am, I'm out in the boondocks, I'm telling you. And nobody just happens to our place. You got a purpose to get there. Sometimes out there in the middle of the boondocks, I sometimes feel like Elijah, amen. God told Elijah, said, Elijah, that's 7,000 more. I imagine Elijah was thinking, but where are they? Amen. I don't see none standing, amen. All I see is a bunch of Obadiahs. I want to know where they are, Lord. Amen. I'm glad God still got some men. Amen. Josiah was young when he started. Look at our text now. Amen. Look at our text. He said when he was 8 years old. And then in verse 3, 8 years later, when he was 16 years old, he sought the Lord. That's what we're going to have the remnant. We have to have some young people to seek God. Amen. I believe he sought him early. I believe he sought him every day. I believe he sought him in everything. I believe he sought him earnestly. I believe he sought an experience with God. Amen. Wouldn't it be one if God got a hold of some young people this week? That's the answer. That's the answer. Amen. Let's pray to break out. I mean, hey, y'all done been to church enough. I've been to church enough. We don't just need another couple of meetings. We need God to move and breathe on us. Amen and amen. Hey, he purged Judah, repaired the house of God, and found the book. Amen. I want to show you that tonight in about three areas. His relation to worship, his relation to work, his relation to the word. In his relation to worship, he was separated. In verse number 3, he said in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David. The 12th year of his reign, he purged Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the grove and the carved image and the molten image, break down the altars and so on and so forth. He could not stand false worship. Amen. Amen and amen. We live in a day of false worship. But I'm going to tell you, Josiah, I mean, he dug them up and burned them. I mean, this fellow, I'm telling you, he was ruthless, amen. Amen. His separation. You know, I think we've come to this place. I think we've come to the place that said we cannot preach to people while they're babes in Christ about being separated till we get them mature in the Lord. You're not going to get babes in Christ mature in the Lord till you preach separation to them. The most carnal book in the Bible, Corinthians, said you are babes in Christ, and he told them what they ought to do. Amen and amen. I'm sitting there saying, hey, in separation, it's not the world outside that's killing, it's the world inside killing. Amen and amen. Number two, his relation to the work of God. He served. Now, as much as I believe in separation, I want to say that's not the end to it. I know some people have made a God out of their separation. Y'all help me, church. Hey, we ought to be separated. But I'm going to tell you, in our separation, we ought to be serving and working for God. Amen. I know some people so separated they don't do nothing. Well, I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I don't do, I know that, you don't do nothing. Amen and amen. I'm praying it's gonna get better. Amen. Hey, separated. Hey, he worked at the house of God. The Bible said he was working at the house of God. He repaired the house of God. There's much to do at the house of God. Amen. Amen. I think we think spiritual work is the man who stands in the pulpit or sings in the choir or teaches a Sunday school class. Can I tell you, cutting the grass is just as spiritual as preaching in the pulpit. Amen. Amen. I'm simply saying to us, he was serving God. Amen. Then notice this. And here's my message, the scriptures. He found the book. Now here's my thought, verse 2. And he did that which was right in the Lord, sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right nor to the left. But look at this, turn to verse 30. Look at verse number 30. And here's my thought now. And the king went up to the house of God, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book, and the covenant was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments. Now in verse number 2, he's walking after David. But they found the book. And when they found the book, Josiah called them together and said, hey, we've been walking after David, but now we've found the book. Let's walk after the Lord. Could I say there's a big difference? There's a big difference between following David and a big difference between following the Lord. Now let me say this, amen. We have to grow from David to the Lord. Are you listening? He only did that after he found the book. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, the scriptures become your God. There's people here tonight. Could I say there's young people here tonight? And here's what you're living on. You're living on the convictions of your mom and daddy. You're following your mom and daddy. May I say, following David was right. David was a good role model. But hey, you got to get further than David. Hey, you're serving God tonight as a young person. You're following the convictions of your mom and daddy. Could well be some kids are here tonight because your mom and daddy's here. And your mom and daddy said, we're going to church. We're going to camp meeting. So you come tonight because your mom and daddy come. But what's going to happen when your mom and daddy ain't here? Amen and amen. Are you getting those convictions from your mom and daddy? But you got to get further. You got to get them out of the Bible. Hey, there's church members here tonight. May I say, I'm not playing this down. I'm making an emphasis on this. There's church members here tonight, and you're following the conviction of your pastor. And I say, praise God for that. But you got to get beyond the convictions of your pastor and get it out of the Word of God yourself. Amen. He was following David, but when they found the book, it so disturbed him that he rent his clothes and, hey, wept and cried and said, we're going to follow the Lord. Amen and amen. That's my message, amen. I want to say it's not wrong to follow David. Hey, I was following convictions of my pastor until I got them myself. Amen. When I got saved and I got in a good Bible preaching church and the preacher preached to me, amen, I thought that was the law of God. And the preacher said, this is what you ought not do and this is what you ought to do. And I said, amen, preacher, whatever you say. Hello. But I'm glad, thank God, a little bit later, I found it in the book myself. Amen and amen. David was a good role model. I thank God for the role models I had in my life. I thank God, I thank God I turned on the radio one day and heard Dr. Harold B. Seidler. I didn't even know what that was. I'm just gonna go ahead and just open up real good tonight. Y'all probably didn't even think I'm saved when I get through. I didn't get saved in this kind of meeting. I didn't know what independent Baptist was. I went to a Pentecostal meeting one night. And they were singing. And I know some of you ain't gonna think I'm saved, but that's alright. My wife had got saved, my wife was praying for me, my mama was praying for me, and they got me to go to a singing one night. And I got to that singing, they didn't tell me there's gonna be no preaching. They said, go to the singing. And I went to the singing and I sat down on the back row and they were singing, just as I am, and I must tell Jesus. And there's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks Lycee. And I'm gonna tell you, I got there that night, I was about half hungover from drinking all day. I was on the back row and the man got up on the platform that was singing for the Kingsmen and he said, hey, in the back of the building, there's a young man that needs to get saved. Well, I was on the back row. That time I was 27. That is young. He said, sir, you need to turn loose that chair. I was holding on to a chair. 400 people in the building. I was holding on to a chair. He said, sir, you need to turn loose that chair and come down this aisle and get saved. I was holding on to a chair. I was on the back row. I was standing there under Holy Ghost conviction. My wife was on this side. My mama was on this side praying, get him, God, get him, God. And the devil was saying, don't you go down there. And the Holy Ghost was saying, you need to go. And that man was hollering at me, turn loose and go. Finally, I stood there in a trembling conviction. He said, if you'll take the first step, God will help you take the rest. I turned loose that chair, stepped out, whoo, slid down to the altar, saved! Are you listening to me? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply trying to say to us tonight, thank God I went back home, got in a dead church. Man, they didn't know what happened to me. The deacons got shook up. The preacher wouldn't baptize me. I went to church one Sunday and it slipped out on me. I said, amen. Hey, after the church, the preacher come to my house and said, we got problems. Honest to God, this is the truth. I said, what's the problem, preacher? And he said, oh, they upset about them amens. They upset about it. You better thank God you got a good church to go to. Said they upset about you and your wife going to the altar. I said, what do you want me to do, Pastor? Leave? He said, no, I'm not telling you to leave. I said, well, what do you want me to do, preacher? I said, I don't know nothing about it. All this stuff is new to me. I thought saying amen is better than cussing. Amen. Somebody hit me. I thought I was doing pretty good, to be honest with you. He said, no, he said, they upset. I said, well, I'll leave. He said, I'm not telling you to leave, Alfred. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, don't rock the boat. I didn't rock it. I turned it over. I got out. I got me a church like this to go to where they wanted you to say amen. Hallelujah. I turned on the radio. Pulled under the carport. Turned on the radio. There was a man on the radio with the bright spot out. I didn't know Dr. Harold B. Seidler. I didn't know him from, I didn't know who in the world. Hey, my wife was in there cooking because we always got out at 12 o'clock sharp. Oh, you might say dull. Amen. I was sitting on the, and we found Dr. Harold B. Seidler on the radio. And at that time, he come on at 12 o'clock and had an hour broadcast. And I turned them on. My wife was in there cooking. This message is getting longer. And I said, I told my wife, I said, honey, you got to hear this. I mean, something inside of me was saying, amen. 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 I wasn't getting that where I come from. Some was saying, amen, that's right. I said, honey, we're going to hear that man. Man, I figured probably a little church out in the country. I pulled out there, Brother Daniel. 1,500 people. Hey, shouting and praising. God, I ain't never seen it on that fashion. Got to listen to Dr. Seidler. Got to know Dr. Seidler. Hey, I thank God for the Davids God's put in my life. Brother Lester Roloff, got to go here. Brother Lester Roloff, got to go out to Corpus Christi, Texas. Got to sit in the auditorium. Got to shake his hand. Got to call him on the phone. Had him pray with me on the phone. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, thank God for the David that God put in our life. But they're gone. Are you listening? Out some of our Davids, we buried Brother Biddle last Saturday. I was at the funeral. We buried Brother Biddle. I brought Brother Biddles and Dr. Seitler's and some of us at my age and older, they're gone. But thank God for this. I got a book. Hey man, I still got a book, Brother Buddy. That's why I'm here tonight. Hey, they're gone, but I still got a book. Amen. Hallelujah, amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply trying to say to us tonight, thank God for all those God's put in our life and instill those convictions in our life. And I got my convictions from them when I was doing it, not even know why, because they said so. But thank God I found it in the book. You got to get from David to the Lord. You know what I was studying? I found out. They found the book. You know what I found out? Hey, look where they found. Do you know where they found the book? They found the book in the house of God. Wait a minute now. It was lost. The book was lost in the house of God. Yesterday across this country, thousands of churches across this country met yesterday. They didn't even have a book. It's lost in the house of God. You know what I found out? This is what I found out when I studied. This is what this article said. It said it had been lost 50 years. It said when they found that book, it had been lost 50 years. Hey, about 50 years ago in this country, we lost the book. The battle started raging about, do we have a Bible? Is it God's Word? What copy is God's Word? We started battling over the book. I'm glad, thank God, there's still a group that believes that King James Bible is the Word of God. I ain't even going to argue about it. Are you listening to me? You ain't got to defend it. It'll defend itself. Hallelujah. It's still got us going. Hallelujah. Hey, it's been lost for 50. You know, about 50 years ago, we started going to church to get happy. We switched from going to church to get holy. And now we go to church to get happy. We used to go to church to get edified. Now we go to church to get entertained. The thriving church in town is the church. The thriving church in the town is the church that can have the most entertainment. Whatever happened coming to church that has the Word of God to excite us. This book will excite you, amen. Amen. We got to get from David to the Lord. Amen. I don't know if this camp meeting preacher. I hope so, amen. Today, and I'll preach another message tomorrow night. Are you listening to me? Why we got to get from David to the Lord? Amen. Well, number one, if you can only go as far as David goes. When you're following David, you can only go as far as David goes. Are you listening to me? There were some things David couldn't do. David couldn't build a temple. Hallelujah. Hey, when you follow David, that's as far as you can go. Exactly. And with some things David couldn't do. But I'm going to tell you, when you get in that book, there is no limit. Amen and amen. Hey, I'll tell you something else about David. When you follow David, amen, listen to this. Hey, most of your Christianity will be external instead of internal. You can only go by what you see. Amen and amen. But I'm telling you, Jeremiah said, this book, he said, I felt like quitting. I felt like throwing in. But he said the Word of God was like fire in my bones. Amen. David never did that for me. But this book did that for me. Hey, David can't always be there. Are y'all listening to me, church? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just simply trying to say, you're going to have to get from David to the Lord. You can only go as far as David go. Most of your Christianity is external. Amen. Number three, you one day possibly going to disagree with David. Amen. He's just a man. Are you listening? Matter of fact, David fell. I'm following David. What's going to do when David falls? And we are living out, this breaks my heart to even say this, Brother Danny. We're living in a day that preachers are falling like flies.
Yes, sir. You're right.
What you going to do if you ain't in the book when your pastor falls? You know what happens to a lot of people when their pastor falls? They say it wasn't real to start with.
Tell it.
But I got something real. I got it out of the book. The book is real. Amen. I hope to God none of your pastors fall. But if your pastor falls, go on for God anyway. Amen. Amen. Yeah, God, y'all kill a white man up here. I'm telling you. Amen. Most of them go back from where they come from. You know what happens when you're following a man and he falls? You go back to where you come from. I heard a preacher tell me this one time. He said, Brother Alfred, I preach for him every year. And one night after church, we was talking. He said, Brother Alfred, very simple, but I've never seen it like this. He said, you know what happens to people when they fall? I said, what's that? He said, they go back to what they were.
Right.
He said, if there was a drunk and they get back up on God, they'd go back to drinking. He said, if they was on drugs before they fell, I mean, before they got saved, and they get backslid on God, they'll go back to drugs. If they were women chasers before they got saved, somebody help me. They'll go back to chasing women. The man who told me that, did that. As strong a preacher as you want to hear, give me that valuable information. You know where he is tonight? He's back chasing women. Church, I'm for camp meeting. I'm telling you, I'm for camp. I'm for shout. I'll pump it up if I can. Amen. All they got to do is hit a chord on that guitar, and I'm telling you, I'm ready to shout. I love it. Amen. But I'm telling you what, we ain't got nothing to shout about till we get right in our hearts.
Right.
Amen. God didn't call us to get together, get emotional. Amen. Hey, emotion without devotion is a bunch of commotion.
Amen.
Hey, let's get our hearts right with God and have a real camp meeting. Amen. Woo! That's good preaching, Reb. You're darn good, Reb. Amen. Can I say something else about following David? It's going to take the scriptures to sustain your separation and service.
Right.
If you ain't got the Bible supporting you in your separation and service, hey, you'll become a Pharisee. How many times have I seen this? I'm following this man. I'm following this man. And I'm telling you, this man has got conviction. And I like that. I tell you, we got so many rules in our church, I don't think I'm keeping them all. It's the truth. But I'm telling you, rules ain't never made nobody spiritual. My wife said, why don't you change it from rules to guidelines? That sounds... don't sound so blunt, amen. I said, I guess it's because I'm the preacher. We got rules. Rules you got to go by. Amen. But rules ain't never... Hey, we got rules to get in our choir, but it ain't never made none of them spiritual.
Right.
You know what they say in our town, preacher? They say, don't go out there to where Willis passed. He's a dictator. But I know that ain't true, because ain't nobody doing what I say. Somebody help me! Is anybody listening? I didn't come to make you laugh. I'm telling you, hey, if you follow man in separation without the word of God, you become a Pharisee. Well, we don't do what y'all do. And they get that haughty spirit. Now I'm for separation. I'm for living godly. Amen. But I'm telling you, I don't look down on nobody. That's the truth. You know that's true about me. I don't look down on nobody. Amen. Except when I'm preaching.
Bless him, Lord.
Hey, if you follow men only separation, you go quit. If you don't get it out of this book, Brother Jeff, how people we preach to, if they don't get it out of this book, they're going to quit. Amen and amen. I preached in my church last night on Martha and Mary, and she chose the better part. And here's what I told my church. I preached on daily devotions. If you don't have daily devotions, it's a matter of time for you gone. You cannot have victory in Christ on Sunday service and Wednesday service. You're going to have to do it daily. And the Lord told Martha about Mary, she chose the better part. And he said what she chose is going to last forever. Hey, and I had a preacher over in my church this morning, one of the men in my church. I was talking to him. I said, you know what? We preach a bunch of stuff. Amen. And we ought to preach a bunch of stuff. But I'm telling you, until we get people reading the Bible and praying, ain't no need to preach nothing else. So you get the basics, you ain't going no further. Hey, you gotta find the boat. He sought it early. He was a young man. He sought it early. Amen. Amen. If you follow men only in separation and you go quit. All the leaders in my life that God allowed to put in my life messed up. Are you listening? I remember when I first got saved. I was in that dead church. Nobody in that church understood what I said. One man. The preacher didn't even understand what happened to him. I mean, I fear for the preacher that he was saved in a Baptist church. A man come to me. He said, preacher, Alfred, I've been in the Air Force. He said, I've been all around the world. I've heard men like Dr. Seitler and Oliver Green. He said, I know what happened to you. You got saved. He was the only man in the church that knew what happened to him. The deacons come by. The deacons told me, patted me on the back and said, Alfred, you got saved when you was 12. We remember you getting baptized. I said, what happened to me the other night? I ain't never had what happened to me the other night. I said, I might have got baptized, but I'm telling you, nothing ever happened to me like happened the other night. And I mean, the deacon started saying, well, you confused and all kind of stuff like that. I mean, no. And this man walked up and he said, Alfred, I'll tell you what happened. These people don't understand. You got saved. They don't understand that. I said, I'm glad you understand. I mean, I really did. I said, thank God you understand. I wouldn't understand. I just knew God changed me. And so I was saved, I don't know, a few weeks, maybe a month. And his wife called me and said, Brother Alfred, you and Sister Lenore said, I'm going to have supper. I want you to come out here. And so we went out there, got in the car, drove out there, walked in the house. Amen. She welcomed us in. We sat down and I was kind of waiting around to see where her husband. And finally, he never came. She come out and she said, it's about ready to eat, I think it was. And she said, I said, well, where's your husband? She said, Brother Alfred, that's why I got you and Sister Lenore here. I said, what do you mean? She said, he's run off with a woman. I said, Sister Betty, your husband's run off with a woman. She said, yeah, and this is not the first time. She said, but I'm not taking him back this time. She said, I done been through this several times with him, and I'm not taking him back. I said, now I'm a brand new convert. I said, you do that in joke joints. You don't do that in church. I said, Sister Betty, I don't understand this. She said, Alfred, I hate to break your heart as a young Christian, but I'm not taking him back. He's an adulterer. Don't laugh at this. Honest, I'm not telling you this to make you laugh. I did not get saved in the Independent Baptist Church. I went back home. I remember it like it's been about 40 years ago. I went back home. I remember I got in my kitchen. I had a big old record player. They had them big old records back then, you know, had a bunch of songs on them. And I put it on. I was standing by a gas heater warming, going over this in my mind. That man has run off with a woman. And I put this album on it. And the singer come on. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. There is a fountain. I said, Brother Swaggart, you got to help me, man. You got to help me. I found out he done run around with 4 or 5 women. So I turned my television on. And on Sunday morning before I go to church, I turned my television. And a man come home with a red tie and a red Bible. And he said, it's fun being saved. I said, glory to God, it's fun being saved. I thought it was. Till I put all them stickers on my hat, it's fun being saved. I was a pipe fitter and I walked around the Navy Yard with it's fun being saved on my hard hat and everybody's looking like this. I didn't find that was too much fun. It's a joy to be saved. But being saved sometimes ain't fun. Ask Paul. Are you listening? I said, Mama, we going to hear that man right there. They had him in Lynchburg, Virginia. I said, we go get in our Volkswagen, we go to Lynchburg, Virginia, and we go hear Brother Bob Harrington. So we got in the car, we headed out, got to Lynchburg, pull up. Man, I ain't never been to nothing like that. I was raised in the country. I mean, this building sits about 3,000 or 4,000 people. We pulled up to that building. I said, well, I'm going to go in there and find out what time the service is. And then we go get a motel. And I went in there and I met this fellow. I said, sir, we're from down around Charleston. And we've come up here to hear Brother Bob Harrington. And we want to know what time the service starts. We're going to get a motel. He said, Brother Bob ain't here. I said, Brother Bob ain't here. I drove from Charleston to Harry. He said, no, you ain't heard about what happened to him. I said, no, man, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, Bob Harrington run off with a woman. I said, man, this is the third case now. He said, we got somebody to take his place. Maybe you ought to stay in here, the man who's taking his place. And I'm not trying to be funny. I said, who you got taking his place? They said, we got J. Harold Smith. I said, man, I ain't never heard of J. Harold Smith. I think I'm going back home. He said, you probably ought to stay in here. This is the honest to God truth. He said, you probably ought to stay in here, this man. So we stayed. We got a motel. We come back to church. He got him preached on God's free deadline. Me and my wife went to the altar and tried to get saved again. Is anybody listening? Hey, every man that was in my life had run off with a woman. Brother Keeve, I found me a good Bible preaching church, independent, fundamental Bible preaching church. I got up behind my pastor. I supported my pastor. I backed my pastor. Anything my pastor said, my heart went. I was going to support the man of God. One night we come to visitation. We had about 20, 25 men in the parking lot to go on visitation. The pastor pulls in the car that the church bought him. I mean, he was living like a king, and I was good. I was glad to support the pastor, take care of the pastor. We bought him a house. We bought him a car. I mean, we took care of the pastor. He pulled into the parking lot. He got out of the car, and two of the men said, Pastor, tell him where we got you. He said, I don't know what y'all talking about. He said, tell them where we caught you, Pastor. Tell them where we caught you this week. He said, I don't know what y'all talking about. Long story short, they caught my pastor with another woman. But you know what happened, Brother Daniel? Through all of this, I put my confidence in men and listening to men and getting my conviction from men. Hallelujah! I found that in the Bible, those convictions were in the Bible. And you know what I found out? Jesus got a bride. And he had never been unfaithful to his bride. I just said, I think I'm going to stay with Jesus. Amen. And he ain't never let me down. Hallelujah. I got my convictions out of the Bible. I'm here preaching tonight because I got convictions out of the Bible. Hey, I'm telling you, he said, when you receive the word of God, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Could I say this in closing tonight? You better get some conviction about that Bible. That's the only thing going to change you. Amen and amen. Could I tell you it was a message of wrath? Hey, when he read that book, he started weeping and crying and rending his clothes because he said it was a message of wrath. He said, the judgment of God is upon our country. And the Bible said he humbled himself before God. Amen. Somebody said, have revival, we got to pray. No, you're skipping a point. Have revival, first thing we got to do is humble ourselves. We're as arrogant and prideful as we've ever been. We're not going to have revival in our churches and in our land till we humble ourselves before a thrice holy God. Amen. God help us tonight. I think, and I'm closing, I think for what happened, I think a lot of our revivals is based on a personality. When the preacher leaves town, the revival leaves town. Are you listening to me? I think a lot of our revivals is based on pressure. Amen. Get them there. Get them raise their hand. Put pressure on them. Amen. I'm telling you, if God can't do it, he don't need to put pressure on them. Somebody help me. It's got to come out of the Word of God. Amen. Hey, the Bible said they found the book in the house of God. And it made a difference in Josiah. Let's let it make a difference in us. Let's stand. Let's pray.